This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, May 9th. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. I am still overflowing with gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Relevant Radio family. It was another amazing Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. Unbelievable effort last week by our listeners. We made our goal of $3 million, and we did it in a big-time fashion on Friday with the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. Thank you so much for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media for yet another 3 months. Here's the happy totals. $3 million. $58,000 plus from almost 15,000 donations from our Relevant Radio family. It truly was heroic giving. It was amazing support on Friday with nearly $861,000 from 4,500 gifts on just Friday alone. The effort on Friday when it counted the most in crunch time was just incredible. I want to bring in my partner, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, we're so grateful for this amazing pledge drive, yet another amazing pledge drive.
Yeah, they seemingly all are because we have the world's greatest audience. Thanks so much for being generous, giving to Relevant Radio. We hit our goal on Friday there of $3 million and a little bit more, as a matter of fact. Thanks for your great generosity. And there's still an opportunity if you missed out and were planning to make a gift. You can still do that online at relevantradio.com, on the mobile app, or on the phone at 877-291-0123. But as we roll out that phone number once again, do know the pledge drive has ended, but we appreciate your support so much last week and ongoing through the year here at Relevant Radio. Just fantastic once again, John.
The effort was tremendous for the entire network, but I want to just give a shout out to our Morning Air family. You guys were amazing on Friday. 601 donations, over 107,000 plus during the time that we were on the air with Morning Air. And every single one of you is so important. You're all part of our family. Thank you again. Glenn, what is going on this morning? What are some of the headlines?
Well, in the world of news regarding pro-life things, John, of course, with the leak last week from the Supreme Court of a potential Roe v. Wade overturning by the court, lots of protests and activism around the country with some protests inside and outside churches in L.A. and in New York, the firebombing of a pro-life help center in Madison, Wisconsin, as well. The Democrats in the Senate will try and hold a vote this Wednesday to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land, not just a court decision, but enshrine that in law. They don't have the votes to make that happen, but the Democrats will try for that, needing to kind of show for election purposes where they stand on the issue, I think, John. And so that appears to be the latest, but just a good idea for folks, you know, at Mass to keep their eyes peeled over the next few weeks here, for sure.
Absolutely. And continue to pray, especially for the Supreme Court justices, that they stay strong and stay convicted to their beliefs as we continue to pray for that decision coming down in a matter of weeks. And real quick, President Putin is spewing yet more propaganda today.
He certainly is with the Victory Day speech in Moscow, kind of blaming the West. Well, we just had to do this, and the West, you know, threatening nuclear war. That's not true. He's the one who's been doing that, and one can hope that enough of uncontrolled media gets that word out inside Russia so the folks do know what's going on. And a couple bits of thumbing the nose to Russia. First Lady Jill Biden met with the First Lady of Ukraine in Ukraine yesterday, and also over the weekend, Bono and the Edge from U2 popped up to do an impromptu quick little concert inside a metro station in Kyiv as well. So some amazing visits over the weekend, John.
Well, we continue to pray for an end to that war. We continue to unite our hearts to the consecration of Russia and Ukraine of our Holy Father. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
And we always begin every hour here in prayer, giving thanks for the many blessings to our Lord, always asking through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Imagine all the saints, the heroes of our Catholic faith, crowded into a spiritual stadium, looking down from heaven on the faithful running the race of our faith, cheering us on to the ultimate victory of heaven. The communion of saints in heaven are praying for us and interceding for us because we are one body in Christ. At the end of the race, at the finish line, stands our blessed Lord Jesus, waiting with open arms to reward us in paradise. Keep running the race of life with perseverance and with our eyes fixed on our leader, Christ Jesus the Lord. And we always pray with great confidence. The prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of our conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, we are here in the fourth week of Easter, and it's supposed to be a season of joy, a season that lasts 50 days until the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. But the reality is that the Easter season isn't pure glory and consolation. There can be a taint of desolation or of struggle in it. St. Peter and the apostles experience it firsthand, and sometimes we'll experience it too. What do we need to do when we experience desolation? How is the sacrament of reconciliation, of confession, there for us in these times of struggles? Joining us live for more perspective is Father James Wallace for much more on the Easter season and desolation. Father James is the pastor of St. Paul the Cross Parish in Park Ridge, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. He serves as a canon lawyer for the Archdiocese of Chicago, a dean and vicariate too, and a professor of canon law and spiritual director at Mundelein Seminary. Good morning, Father James. Happy Easter once again. Thanks so much for being with us. It's great to be with you on another Monday morning.
Good morning, John. Happy Easter. Happy Good Shepherd Sunday plus one.
Absolutely. Father James, let's talk about St. Peter the Rock after the resurrection. Do you think that he must have been experiencing a variety of different emotions after denying the Lord three times and then realizing that he was risen?
Can't imagine the range of emotions he had. Jesus was his companion, his model, his inspiration. He left everything to follow the Lord. And so, obviously, his denial was a great point of pain for St. Peter. So he must have been overjoyed when he saw the risen Lord. And the Lord, when he appeared to the apostles in that upper room on Easter Sunday evening, didn't condemn them, didn't punish them, but forgave them, breathed on them the Holy Spirit. So he must have been relieved. But still, the guilt and maybe even the shame of the memory of the denial must have still been weighing on Peter in those days and weeks after the Easter resurrection appearance that Sunday morning.
It's so true. He said to them, peace be with you. But nevertheless, they must have had so many different emotions, all of them that were in that room that night, except for Thomas. They must have been wondering about denying the Lord, about abandoning the Lord.
Denying the Lord, abandoning the Lord, they all fled from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even you look at St. Matthew, for instance, how much he gave up to follow the Lord. Successful, more or less, career as a tax collector, kind of a life of comfort, He was in with the Romans, and he leaves it all behind. And so the fear that they might have had as well, what do I do now? I can't go back to my former way of life. Were we wrong? Was this a mistake? What do we do? Remember, they don't have the Holy Spirit yet, so they're not necessarily emboldened to go out and begin the church. That'll happen soon. But yeah, a lot of fear probably was there as well, which is why Jesus will say, don't be afraid, fear not, when he makes those multiple appearances. The other thing I find interesting, I just heard you were talking about with Glenn, the victory day in Europe, of course, May 8th, the day the Germans surrendered. Now, we know the war, though, didn't end in Europe, even though this was May 8th, 1945 was a great day. We still had months, especially the Americans, to finish off the war in Asia, in the Pacific theater. So just when we think we have victory, we're not done yet. We still gotta fight.
Absolutely. And bringing it back to the upper room, 1 week later, on what we celebrate as Divine Mercy Sunday, the Lord appeared once again and gave the apostles, the disciples, the power to forgive sins, to bind and loose. He gave them the great gift of confession that we also can tap into.
Absolutely. And that's very intentional on the Lord's part. I mean, everything that the Lord does is intentional, but especially after the resurrection, his appearances are very calculated. He's not just appearing all over the place. The disciples, the road to Emmaus, again, the upper room, a week later to St. Thomas. He could have appeared to Thomas anywhere, but he goes through those locked doors in that upper room, which is very symbolic. And then again, he specifically talks about forgiveness of sins. You think of all the things the Lord could have said after the resurrection, all the teachings he could have given. He waits until the ascension to talk about baptism, but right here on Easter Sunday, his ultimate victory, he brings up forgiveness of sins, binding and loosing, and that need for the apostles to give what they themselves have received. They were sinners. They've been forgiven by the Lord. They need to go out and find sinners and likewise introduce them into the Lord's forgiveness and mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation.
Father James, the sacrament of reconciliation is so powerful, especially if you consider that we're going to confession to a priest, but we're really going to confession to our Lord Jesus Christ, the priest standing in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. Talk about that great gift of joy, of confession that we have available to us.
The tribunal of God's mercy, as many of the saints will call it, it's a powerful experience for the priest. If you're ever wondering, the lady on the other side of the confessional screen, what's going through a priest's heart and mind, it's an incredible graced experience. And we have the ability, by the way, never fear, like the Lord kind of, that magic marker wipes away our minds after the confession, because it's really not us, obviously. We know this. It's not the priest himself forgiving the sins. It's Christ acting through the priest. And so the priest has a tremendous experience himself of the Lord looking with great delight and eagerness upon the penitent to set them free and to set them upright on a new path of freedom. But the path of freedom and holiness isn't a one-and-done deal. Again, remember, like, Victory Day wasn't just one day, right? We have to keep fighting. We're forgiven of our sins, but we sin again, as St. John will say. We're all sinners. Even some of our past sins might be forgiven, but maybe the memories or the depth of the wound that causes sin might be surfaced in time, and we need to, again, return to the sacrament to allow the mercy of the Lord's precious blood to flow into those wounds in our soul. We see this with St. Peter after, you know, what the Sea of Galilee experience, the third time the Lord appeared.
Without a doubt. In fact, that is such a powerful scene. After Peter denies the Lord three times, he gets an opportunity to let him know that he loves him three times, to make good for that triple denial.
It's an incredible scene, too. John tells us, so this is John chapter 21. This is the third time Jesus revealed himself. So Peter knows the Lord's alive and risen. Remember, he's seen him in the upper room. He's even got a portion of the Holy Spirit. He saw the empty tomb. But they're fishing, and so you could tell Peter's probably in a moment of desolation. And by the way, so this is, like I said, third times. This is weeks after the resurrection. So it might actually be kind of like where we are chronologically, maybe the fourth week or so after Easter. So Peter's probably recalling his sin, his denial. He's feeling some heaviness. He just goes fishing. He's not really sure what to do. The Lord hasn't appeared to him again. And he doesn't recognize the Lord from the sea. John does, but not Peter. But when he realizes it's the Lord, and he jumps into the water, it's like his second baptism. He's cleansed. He comes out of the water. He drags the fish, the net with the fish, 153 large fish. And then, like you said, John, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Not what have you done? What were you thinking? What's wrong with you? But do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Forgiven.
That's a special moment of not only of forgiveness, but also of being anointed as our shepherd. He made him the universal shepherd of our church at that moment. He's reminding him that he is to go and to lead the flock. And yesterday we celebrated Good Shepherd Sunday.
Absolutely. You know, and again, remember what we were saying, Jesus is very intentional here. He's made Peter the shepherd, even though he was a fisherman. Jesus built that charcoal fire on the seashore. We know that Peter denied the Lord three times outside the charcoal fire, the court of the Sanhedrin. Jesus brings them breakfast, or he cooks them breakfast using the instrument of Peter's humanity, that fish. But then he transforms them from a fisherman into the shepherd. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Earlier he had said, you know, go and catch men at the initial call, but now it's, you know, be that shepherd. And so we know the story of Peter. He's going to go up to Antioch, read the Acts of the Apostles. He's going to have another kind of development into his leadership when he brings the Gentiles with St. Paul into the church. He makes that decision. And then, of course, he travels to Rome when Jerusalem is becoming very tumultuous. There's great political upheaval. The Romans, we know, will destroy it in 70. So Peter shifts the church to Rome, which is a huge decision. But again, he's led by the Holy Spirit. And then we know the rest of the story, right? He's crucified upside down in the circus of Nero, about 64 AD.
So we know that that Peter really did have a change of heart, but he also realized, and we see it as we read through the Acts of the Apostles here during Easter time, that everything wasn't rosy for Peter in the early going in the early church. He realized at the end of the day he was going to have to give up his life for the Lord that he loved.
Of course, and going to Rome, I mean, he's literally going into the den of the lions, like Daniel in the Old Testament, pagan city, corrupt. I mean, the whole peace of Rome is not really peaceful under, you know, Augustus and then Tiberius. He's going into his death, and he'll still have, there's that great story of the Quo Vadis story where he's not sure what to do. The church is being persecuted. And again, we're probably familiar with the story. He's leaving Rome because he thinks he needs to save himself. He's the leader of the church. He can't die. You know, the general has to be safe, right? And then Jesus appears to him. Peter is leaving Rome. Jesus appears to him coming to Rome carrying his cross. And he says, Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going? And Jesus tells him, I'm going to Rome to die once again. Will you come with me? A fulfillment of what Jesus said in John 21, right? Someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Peter returns to Rome, and he's crucified like our Lord, sort of, upside down.
And today we have the successor of St. Peter in Pope Francis, who gave us a great example during the consecration of Ukraine and Russia when he himself went to confession before a simple parish priest and then gave us all an example of the power of reconciliation, the power of confession.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great, what a powerful witness. You know, I teach, now that the seminary year has ended, I gave my finals last week. I'm back to teaching in the grade school here and 7th and 8th grade religion at St. Paul. And one of the children asked me, does the Pope go to confession? Or like, does the Pope need to ask for forgiveness of sins? And I said, absolutely, right? And like you said, John, great example there of him going to a parish priest. Again, Peter, at the height of his power, when he's in Rome, he's you know, cementing that rock in the eternal city. It's never going to be uprooted. Even he, again, that Quo Vadis story showed, you know, he doubted, he wasn't sure. went to confession in a way, and I'm sure a brother priest absolved him of his sins right before his death.
Father James, a final thought of inspiration here during this Easter season. Even if you might be going through a difficult time, a desolation, God's grace is infinite. He's always waiting for us there with open arms, especially if we go to confession.
Absolutely. Lent is such a great, powerful experience. It's a push, and then we can kind of let off the gas on Easter, but don't do that. Good Friday, we heard confessions for 4 hours. Why not hear 4 hours of confessions on Good Shepherd Sunday or, Friday in the fifth week of Easter or on Pentecost Sunday? Because we're going to keep sinning, and we want to experience that grace of the Lord's delight in us and calling us to continue to build up His church and His kingdom. So let's go to confession.
As always, Father James, thanks so much for your spiritual direction, for your perspective. Great to be with you this morning.
God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks so much. Father James Wallace, our spiritual director, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Parish in the Archdiocese of Chicago in Park Ridge, Illinois. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by career coach Bruce Lochenour with a recap on his 12-step process of landing your dream job. And we're going to talk about the final step, exiting gracefully. So stay with us. There's much more conversation to come as Morning Air continues after this short timeout.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Working for a living, working for a living.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this Monday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Great to be with you. It's a great joy to spend some time with you on this Monday morning. I'm just so grateful for all your support during the Give Hope Pledge Drive last week. It was awesome. Our Relevant Radio family was simply amazing. Thank you again. We hit our goal with over $3 million in donations, in gifts from every single one of you. Nearly 15,000 gifts from our Relevant Radio family. Thank you again. Thank you so much. Friday was just unbelievable. The support was truly heroic. If you missed last week's pledge drive, for whatever reason, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by calling 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123, or you can give online at relevantradio.com, or you can still make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. Again, thanks on behalf of our entire network to every single one of you who helped us with our mission of bringing Christ to the world through the media. And once again, it's time to continue our series on how to land your dream job with career coach Bruce Lochenour, who's going to take your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Today, we're going to review the 12-step process of landing your dream job. We're also going to talk about the last step, exiting gracefully. You can always send an email to Bruce at bruce@relevantradio.com, bruce@relevantradio.com. Bruce Lochenour has a bachelor's degree in economics from Northwestern University and an MBA from Harvard. He has spent the last 25 years working with public and private company board of directors, CEOs, and top executives on their career and talent needs. Bruce is here today to share some insights and answer any of your questions about finding and landing that dream job. Again, our number to be part of our discussion, 888-914-9149. Good morning, Bruce. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again. I know, Bruce, it had to be a lot of fun to be part of your first pledge drive last week.
Good morning, John. Yes, it was great fun. I shared with the listeners there then how much we appreciate Relevant Radio, and I think that those results, which are remarkable, and kudos to our listeners, show that they appreciate the value that Relevant Radio provides for them, and they show their appreciation through, I'm sure, their prayers and also their financial donations. So it was a lot of fun to be part of it, and I'm not surprised at the results, because I know our listeners are truly impacted in a good way by what we do.
Well, Bruce, we always appreciate your contributions. We really try to look at everything that's going on in our world, including how to land that dream job through a spiritual lens. Can you take us through the 12-step process, especially for our new listeners that may not have been with us from the beginning? Walk us through very briefly through the 12-step process with a little refresher.
Yeah, you bet. My pleasure, John. The first step is the one where you're really connecting and asking our Lord for help. So it's to prayerfully discern what you should be doing next based on two things: your competencies, you know, what your skills are, what you're good at doing, and your passions. What do you really love and care about? You find the intersection of those two, and you find the job that has them both, and you ask our Lord for insights. You know, we talked about going in front of the Blessed Sacrament, kneeling down and praying, and praying not just say, "Hey, Lord, I need a job," but, "Lord, help me see." That's my favorite prayer. "Lord, that I may see," the prayer of the blind beggar. And if you do that work and kind of pray about it, clarity will come, and you'll go, "Okay, I know what I'm targeting." So once you know what you're targeting, John, the second step is to develop your marketing materials. Wait a minute, marketing? Yes, not only your resume, but your LinkedIn profile and all your social media need to present a consistent image and view of who you are and what you're seeking. And that should align well with what you've determined as your dream job. The third step is to create your networking strategy. John, we talked a lot, and I've got some listeners that have called in about this as well, about how jobs most often are filled through networking, not through postings. More than half are filled through networking, and even those that are posted, most of those end up being filled by networking. So you'd be surprised at how many people you know or how many people that are one degree of separation away from you. And with LinkedIn being just a wonderful resource for who's doing what out there, you can tap into your network and get an introduction to that dream job. Step four is to prepare your elevator pitch. Step five is to connect with headhunters. Step six is to sharpen your interviewing skills. And as we've talked about, the job spec, the job description, is the answer key to the interview. So by looking at that, seeing what behaviors and achievements they're seeking, you can reflect on what you've done, how it matches up with that, and have stories ready to present in that interview that show that you've got the experience that they're looking for. So those first six steps are finding your dream job. The last half dozen are landing the offer. So the key is to prepare for that offer. You need to do the research, find out what's the going rate. And there's so much information out there on the web today, on salary.com and other sites, where you can see what compensation is. And it's more than just your salary and or your bonus. There are, be it work hours, work from home, flex hours, cell phone, you know, whatever it is that's important to you. Make sure you think broadly of what you want. Negotiate well is step eight. We had a lot of fun with this, John, because most people look at a negotiation with horror, but it's really a problem-solving session. And if you come in with the data and enlist the help of your prospective boss or your current boss, say, "This is, as I understand it, this is what the market is for this type of position. This is what I need, that market rate, plus I need this and this and this. You'll help me get there. Let's work together to find a solution. And maybe you can give on this or help me over here." The ninth step is conducting due diligence on that company. It's critical. We've talked about culture fit as being the number one reason why people thrive or leave a situation. The company's going to do the same thing. They're going to assess the culture. The 10th step is they're going to ask you to complete an assessment and ensure that you fit their culture. We talked last time about references, how important they are, and how they're a precious resource for you as a job seeker, that you don't want to have your references called countless times, because they'll stop taking those calls. So you use them sparingly. And then finally, our topic today is exiting gracefully. And we'll talk about what that means.
And I want to remind our listeners that we went into every one of these 12 steps in much more detail over the last few months. If you want to go back and listen to any one of these programs, any one of our shows talking about the different steps, so you can listen on our podcast at relevantradio.com. It's super easy to find them. So let's
Let me jump in on that point, because we had an email from a listener who said, gee whiz, I've got a friend that's right in the situation where she needs to renegotiate her package with her employer. And, you know, I know you talked about this, but I wasn't sure how to find it. As you said, it's pretty easy. If you go to the Relevant Radio website, and right on top on Listen, you go to Morning Air, and there's a box there that says, search the show. Just type Bruce, and you'll see all the shows that we've done. And there's a nice little description of what the shows are. And this particular listener was asking about negotiating, obviously, and we did three shows on that, preparing and then completing the negotiation from February 2nd to March 2nd. So I would encourage our listeners, if they heard something or if there's a step along there that's highly relevant to what they're doing right now, they should look it up and take a listen.
And if you want, you can even share it with a friend, again, at the relevantradio.com website or on the Relevant Radio app. All right, Bruce, we're at step number 12, exiting gracefully.
Yes. So there are three parts of exiting gracefully, John. Leaving well, handling counteroffers, and updating and thanking your network. And they're all important. That first one, let's talk about the first one, leaving well. So you've decided, you've got the offer, you've confirmed the culture is a good fit, they've checked your references, you're ready to go, you need to give notice. So leaving well means handling yourself as a true professional, recognizing you're putting your employer in a tough spot. You're going to want to be understanding of their situation and yet respectful of your future employer, and they will be too. They may say, gee whiz, you can't go until we fill the position. Well, that's not practical. And typically 2 weeks notice is what a person gives their current employer. If there's like the end of the month coming up and you're in finance and they really need your help for maybe 4 weeks, then you go back to your new employer and say, hey, can I extend this for a few weeks? But it's in explaining that you're leaving, it's hard for everyone that you leave behind, and you need to let them know that you present them with a truthful but palatable, if you will, rationale. You know, I wasn't looking. I was presented with a career-enhancing opportunity, and I decided to make a change. Then they may ask you to do an exit interview, which is a good practice among companies to find out why you're leaving. Well, this is not the time to just go on a rant about this and about that. The coffee machine never worked, and blah, blah. No. You know, I think you be very professional. Talk about a lot of the great things that they did. And if there is something that could help them retain people more or make people happier in your situation, you could say, if I had more flex hours, that would have made this an even better opportunity for me. So again, keep it very professional. Why? This is what we do, as you know, Christians, Catholics, as just good professionals. It's treat others the way you want to be treated. The golden rule, being respectful. It's key, and it's the opposite of this whole ghosting thing. I mean, we talked about this when Glenn was sitting in for you, John. That's just embarrassing. And when the job market catches up to the economy, meaning the economy is sliding, the job market will too at some point. That'll catch up with folks. So you want to be professional. Also, because these people, you've just gone through the process of having your references checked. These people are going to be future references for you sometime down the road. And rebounding is big. You know, you see it from Tom Brady to that CNBC clip of the executive from Microsoft who went to Meta/Facebook and turned around and came back. They're not going to welcome you with open arms.
You don't want to burn bridges,
exactly.
Right, Bruce?
Exactly. Common sense. Absolutely.
Now, tell me more about counter offers. Why is it a good idea to accept an offer to stay once you've announced that you are leaving?
Well, the classic wisdom on that, John, is never accept a counter offer. Because here's what happens. you announce that you're leaving, and we think, oh my gosh, we can't fill his role. You know, what are we going to do? Let's throw a lot of money at him. We throw a lot of money at him. And then sometimes they say, we'll throw a lot of money and we'll figure out what to do. Or they throw a lot of money at you, give you a big bear hug, and then 6 weeks, 3 months down the road, a new plum assignment comes and they opt to give it to somebody else because you portrayed, you know, you're Benedict Arnold. You know, you showed your disloyalty to our company. You were going to leave us. So if compensation was the only reason you were leaving, maybe. But if there were other reasons why you're leaving, those reasons may not change. And you have to ask yourself, is this the best opportunity, the one you have in hand that caused the counteroffer that I'm going to see in the next 12 to 18 months? Because years ago, the Wall Street Journal published a study that showed that the vast majority of executives who accepted counteroffers were off doing something else within 12 to 18 months. So accept a counteroffer, you know, just recognize the risk of accepting a counteroffer. Now it's changing a little bit, but I don't think human behavior and human psychology changes that much.
Well, Bruce, there's much more to cover as we are discussing the final step of the 12-step process of landing that dream job, exiting gracefully. If you'd like to be part of our conversation with our career coach, Bruce Lockenauer, he's taking your calls, 888-914-9149. It doesn't only have to be about exiting. If you have any question regarding landing that dream job, if you're looking for a job as we speak, feel free to give us a call. Again, we're going to take a short break. As we continue our discussion with Bruce, stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Everybody's working
for the weekend. Yes, indeed. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales as we continue our conversation with our career coach, Bruce Lockenauer. We're talking about the 12-step process of landing that dream job, and today we're focusing on the final step, exiting gracefully. Bruce, before the break, you started to talk about counteroffers. Anything else you'd like to share on counteroffers?
Yeah, John, one other thought, and that is when you sense one coming, you know, again, I suggest, given the statistics about how folks that accept counteroffers usually don't last long at their employer, and there are exceptions, but I would suggest that you've made up your mind, you're going to move on to this new job, you prayerfully discern it's the right thing for you, and everything has fallen into place, and you're really excited about going, that when you hear one coming, you can say, thank you, but I've made my decision. You know, I really appreciate that. You know, who knows, our paths may cross again down the road, but at this point, I've made my decision, I'm going to be moving on. So I would encourage that folks would preempt that counteroffer. And you don't want to get into, negotiating between your current employer and your future employer. No, I mean, you've got a good deal. You've tested against the marketplace. You know, pull the trigger.
Bruce, can you talk about, touched on it in the first segment before the break, the importance of being a good ambassador for our faith as Catholics. We represent the Lord. So you want to exit gracefully. You want to be a good example. You don't want to leave anything negative behind, whether you stay or you leave.
Yeah, and that ties into the third part of exiting gracefully, and that is saying thank you. You know, I would say maybe you need to go on a pilgrimage to say thank you to our Lord or St. Joseph for helping you land this dream job. At a bare minimum, go in, you know, again, get on your knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament and say, Lord, thanks. You know, couldn't have done this without you. Thanks for steering me in the right direction and helping all the pieces fall into place. You also, though, in terms of giving thanks, want to thank all those people who helped you. We've talked about developing that network and reaching out to the network and expanding your network. It is. I can't tell you, John, how many times I've coached people in a process or made introductions. And unfortunately, it's a fraction of those that come back and circle back and tell me that where they ended up and are off to the races. My suggestion is that you reach out to all those who helped you along the way, let them know about the new role, and maybe even 12 months down the road, follow up and say, gee whiz, you know, John, you made that introduction for me that ultimately helped me land this job. It's going so well. I can't thank you enough for your help. Because you never know. Oh, and then John, you know, offer them your help. John, if you need help, or if you've got someone in your network or family or friends that would like help, you know, now that I'm working here, I'd be more than happy to return the favor. Because you never know. And that, you know, that's what we're here for, right? We're here to help each other on this earth and help us help each other both on our human journey and our supernatural journey.
Bruce, I'm just curious, how often do you run into somebody who really thought that they were called to leave? The grass always seems greener on the other side. They leave, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, I don't think I made a right decision. I should have never left.
Yeah, it happens. I can think of one situation where I was involved, and it's right at this stage, at the end, when the company decided to choose this executive as their, make an example of this executive, and exercised the fact that he signed a non-compete and sued him and just made a big splash within the company. And he took it very personally, and that was a mistake. But John, very confident, and you know, I know from 25 plus years of doing this, that if you take the steps that we talked about and assess that culture, and you know yourself, as we talked about up front, and you assess the culture of the future company, you're going to do fine. You're going to do fine. So I think a lot of the rebounds and boomerangs that we hear about are the fact that people got infatuated with maybe a new title and a compensation package and didn't assess the culture fit, because that's the number one reason why people don't. And what I mean by that is, how do they do things? What do they value? You know, it's kind of like a group. You know, you got your group of friends and you guys share values. That's what it should feel like in a company, that you're happy to be there.
888-914-9149. Tom is calling us this morning from Wisconsin. Tom, welcome aboard. You're on with our career coach, Bruce Lockenauer.
Good morning. Thank you. I have a question regarding negotiating for some change, for example, more flexible schedule or structure with in the situation where you really don't want to leave, but feel like you may have to.
No. Understood. And I hear that. So my suggestion, Tom, and thanks for calling. By the way, I heard it was one beautiful day on Saturday for the walk to Mary. I'm not sure where you are, but I heard finally the rain let up and the skies were clear and sunny. And John, we had, what was it, between 3,000 and 4,000 people in the walk to Mary? Just amazing. So Tom, the process is the same. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to what we talked about, getting the data up front. So seeing, going on to salary.com and other sites and seeing what people make and where, you know, talk to people that maybe are at other companies and find out what other companies' practices are. Not that you're going to leave, but having the data allows you to come in and present the data to your boss and say that, you know, I'm delighted to be here. I'm so excited. I will tell you, I need your help in one thing. For this reason, you know, I need to have more flexibility with respect to, you know, the work-home-life balance. And I've seen that other companies, you know, XYZ and ABC that are in our sector provide that. I think we should provide it. And I would like to see if I can, you know, if we can work together to find a solution so that I can help address this concern that I have. So get the data, find out what the industry is doing. I mean, if nobody's doing it, you can still, you know, make the personal case that you're a top performer and this would help you, you know, continue to be a top performer. But hopefully you can get the data, present it to your boss, and ask, you know, enlist his or her help in developing a solution so that it's a win-win. So that you have your work family balance, he or she has a fantastic employee in this market in which my guess is your boss is pulling their hair out about trying to fill two or three other openings because the quit rate is just so very high. Tom, does that help?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you so much.
And thanks so much, Tom, for being with us this morning. We go to the Twin Cities. Corey is joining us this morning. Corey, welcome to Morning Air.
Thank you. Good morning. And I just wanted to emphasize what you said about the culture fit. It's so important. And I had a job that I absolutely loved, but for a company that was not right, it did not match my Catholic values. And I remember just praying to God saying, like, how do I get out of this? And then I got laid off, which was the best blessing ever because I kept having to go to confession for things. I was in grant making and I had to give grants to groups that weren't in line with our Catholic values. And it was really hard. It was very hard to be there. And just the culture overall and what they valued. And I kept applying for jobs that I thought would be great. And then later there were companies I found out supported Planned Parenthood or stuff like that. And I kept praying to St. Joseph and to God, and a great job appeared. And now I work for somebody who is a wonderful Christian woman, and our team prays together, and it's for a bank, and you would never think that would happen. And they're out there. So just hold fast and keep praying and listening to Relevant Radio to get you through.
Amen. Hey, Corey, thank you so much. What a great story. And you're right. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics, John, says that on an average career, people have 10 or 11 jobs. So you're probably going to find yourself in a position at some point where it's not the right fit. And John, you know, I say this almost every show, so forgive me, but carpe diem, seize the day. Now's the moment. The economy is teetering a bit. And I think, you know, two consecutive quarters of contraction is a recession. I think we're going to see that. And you're starting to see little signs, little pockets of the job market. Right now, it's still white hot. So if you find yourself in a position like Corey did previously, for whatever reason, you're not comfortable, move fast and move now. Take our 12 steps and make sure that culture you're coming into is one that aligns with you and your values. Great call, Corey. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks so much, Corey, and thanks so much, Bruce. Really appreciate your insights, as always. It's great to be with you.
John, always a pleasure. Thank you.
You can reach Bruce by email, bruce@relevantradio.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today, and maybe you got some jewelry if you were a mom yesterday. Our story today, Their Favorite Jewelry by Lynn Jost. During his reign, King Frederick William III of Prussia found himself in trouble. Wars had been costly, and in trying to build the nation, he was seriously short of finances. He couldn't disappoint his people, and to capitulate to the enemy was unthinkable. After careful reflection, he decided to ask the women of Prussia to bring their jewelry of gold and silver to be melted down for their country. For each ornament received, he determined to exchange a decoration of bronze or iron as a symbol of his gratitude. Each decoration would be inscribed, "I gave gold for iron, 1813. The response was overwhelming. Even more importantly, these women prized their gifts from the king more highly than their former jewelry. The reason, of course, is clear. The decorations were proof they had sacrificed for their king. Indeed, it became unfashionable to wear jewelry, and thus was established the Order of the Iron Cross. Members wore no ornaments except a cross of iron for all to see. When Christians come to their king, they too exchange the flourishes of their former life for a cross. Matthew 16:26 is, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?"
Always, thanks so much, Glenn. You can wear a miraculous medal and a cross. In fact, we can honor our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God, in this month of May. Pray the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. Pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. in the afternoon on the Drew Mariani Show. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Lever, for producers Gabby Berg, Sarah Tafoya, the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.